Yes. I'll actually hand deliver it. Yeah. Who wants to quote Colossians 4:2? That's the shortest, easiest one. My daughter, Makari, has them down. These are just the key verses, not all the verses. Starts out with continue. I'll wait just a second. Continue. That's with prayer. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Good. Yeah, continue. We're to be continuing in prayer. We talked about what to pray for, what not to pray for, how to pray, all of that. The last one is willful submission, or yielded followership, I think we call it. The willful submission is the folder in which I keep all the notes of that on my desk and my computer. But yielded followership, or submission, different realms of authority, and we're supposed to yield to God, and God has established authorities. Anyone want to try Romans 13:1-2? Starts out, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist have been given by God. What's the rest? Makari's been saying these because Paul's going to... That's good. Yeah, whoever resists the ordinance of God resists... and brings judgment on themselves. So the idea is all authority is from God, and there's no authority that exists that isn't from God ultimately. What about bad authorities? Yeah, God was in charge of Adolf Hitler. It doesn't mean he condoned everything, but he allowed it, and there was nothing that could happen that God didn't do. Just like Nebuchadnezzar, he let Nebuchadnezzar eat grass for, 7 years? So that he might know who raises kings up and brings them down, that he is in charge, right? But there's authority to God, authority in the realm of the home, wife to husband, children to parents. There's authority in the church. We're to follow our spiritual leaders. There's authority in government. There's authority in the workplace. All of those things. Yielding to authority is a divine attribute. Is that true? It is. Jesus yields to God the Father. The Holy Spirit yields to the Father and the Son. Submission is a divine attribute. Submitting to authority. And that's the way God set it up. So following authority is just part of what we do. Generous giving. I am responding to God's giving by giving myself and my resources for His use. That's just the way I've summarized that a little bit. But giving is a discipline of a disciple. A disciple is one whose conduct has been changed to become like his master, and that master is Jesus. Last week we just introduced the idea, but Jesus gave himself, and that is the basis on which we build to give. Here's the verses here. I encourage you to memorize them. The children will be memorizing some or all of these, depending on the class. But 2 Corinthians 8:9, I think, is the best. If you want to do them in priority, I've listed them in a priority fashion. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. Is that giving? All right. That you through his poverty might become rich. The idea of we have an eternal perspective, and that's what motivates us to give. 1 John 3:16, by this we know love, or literally we have come to know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. The word ought means what? Must. It's an obligation. The Greek word is we are obligated. It's not something we should do. It's we are indebted to do. In fact, Paul said, I am a debtor to the Jew and the Greek. That's from the same root word. He's a debtor. He's in debt. We are indebted to die for one another. That is the basis of our giving, not how much do they give, how much do I have. None of those things fit right there. It's built upon the ultimate giving of God. We're going to look, not this week, but later on, 1 John 3:16 says we are obligated to lay down our lives for the brethren. And then it goes on, since we've established that, those are my words, and it goes on to say, so any of you who sees a brother who has extra and sees a brother in need, it lays it down then to giving. Giving shouldn't be an issue then, to meet that need. Okay, that's not the only scenario, because you can give out of your poverty as the Macedonians did. But it's just saying, how does the love of God dwell in you? It doesn't. Okay, so we'll get into that more as we get it farther along. We have like 6 or 7 weeks. We'll be done with this discipline by Easter, which is the 4th of April. We have it pretty well planned out now, so... Proverbs 3, 9 and 10. We quote 5 and 6 all the time. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will direct your paths, right? One of the most popular passages, and rightly so. But it's in a series of 10 verses. 5 pairs of verses. Okay? One of the last ones, this isn't the last one, but verse 9, it says here, honor the Lord with your possessions. What does that sound like? Some of them? It's like all of your possessions. It's like every bit of your possessions. Oftentimes when we think of giving, we're thinking offering plate. That's part, but that's a very small part. It's a significant part, but it's not all of it. Honor the Lord with your possessions. You mean your car? Are you saying put that in the offering plate? No. Everything you own should be used to honor the Lord by. Whether it's your television, your computer, your house, any of that. Okay? Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. We'll get into that passage more later. But it says, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Now, whether that directly applies today, that if we give, God will give to us, it certainly is a principle that is there. It's not a name it, claim it, or a prosperity gospel thing, but you'll see, I think in a week or two, the idea of Jesus, He says, anyone who gives up for Me will get in this life and also in the life to come. It isn't necessarily dollar for dollar or $100 for dollar or whatever. You might be impoverished, but you will experience a satisfaction that could not come without giving that way. We'll talk about that when we get there. Acts 20:35, I have shown you in every way by laboring like this, Paul says, that you must support the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus that He said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. How many have heard that before? How many believe that? Yeah, it's like, it's a little harder, you know. It's like, well, I like that. I like to help people to understand that. So I give them a list, you know. But I'm teasing. But anyway, there's 4 key verses. Now we're going to trudge through these quickly. Why should we give? We hit on it last week some. We're developing it a little more this week. Because God gives. To be a giver is to be godly. Okay? Ask yourself 2 questions. This is in your notes here. As you review each item on the list, number 1, what has been my response to this gift? And number 2, does my giving reflect God's giving? Am I godly? Let's look at these. We're going to have to run through these, but that's okay. The verses are there, and we encourage you to review them after today, to look them over, to read through them. But number 1, God gives in the realm of creation. I'm just going to write the fill in the blanks here since the kids aren't in here. God gives in the realm of creation. You see clearly in Scripture that God is a giver starting at creation. Job 33:4, the Spirit of God has made me and the breath of the Almighty gives me life. Okay? Our existence is a gift. Acts 17:25, nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. One of our foundational statements that we will say over and over is, God does not need what we have to give. God wants us to give because it is characteristic of who He is. It's godly. And it also benefits us and others to give. God doesn't need your money. He doesn't need your time. And frankly, He doesn't need your talent. It's your privilege to offer that to God as your Creator. God, if He wants money, He'll just create a universe full of it. So you'll speak it into existence. Okay? It has nothing to do with what God needs. God needs nothing here. 1 Timothy 6:13, I urge you in the sight of God who gives life to all things. That's our God. He's a giver at the very rudimentary level of creation. 1 Corinthians 11:15, this sounds like a funny verse, but it very much refers to creation. But if a woman has long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given to her for a covering. It refers all the way back to creation, the intent and design of God. And you can go on and on as far as the design of the universe and all of that. God is a giver in the realm of creation. God gives in the realm, very much related to it, in the realm of provision. Okay, let's have you guys read these. If you want, you can pass if you want. You're welcome to do that. But the verses are there. It'll maybe make it a little more interesting for you than just hearing my voice. I mentioned out there, you don't come to church just to hear, blah, 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 blah. Well, after a while, I sound like that to me. So I just wonder if that's what you hear. So, Susie, if you want to start in Matthew 5:45. Stephen, Matthew 6:11 and down. If you want to pass, just pass on and move on to the next. Okay.
That you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for He makes His sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the
unjust. Isn't this amazing? God gives the rain to the just and the unjust. That's our God. Matthew 6:11, Stephen.
Give us this day our daily bread.
You ask that to a God who what? Who gives, right? Josh, where are we at? Acts 14:17.
Nevertheless, He did not leave Himself without witness, and that He did gave us rain from heaven in fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with good and gladness.
With what and gladness?
Food and gladness.
Okay, because that's my life verse. Don't get that one wrong. All God's people said, amen. Yeah. We just had food and gladness with cookies. James 1:17, Ted. It's a sorry. Yeah, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. It's like everything you have, and it's like we like to take credit for that, right? You know, don't we kind of look at what I've done and say, well, yeah, okay, kind of. It's like you did it because God gave you life, He gave you strength, He made your body work. Anyone here having your cells split? Are you controlling that? Or are you making your lungs breathe? Don't fall asleep if that's the case because it's over. Okay, you know what I'm saying? Isn't that great? You don't have to metabolize food. It just happens. We just... and it just works. Okay, all of those things, gifts from the Lord. God gives in the realm of provision. Number three, God gives in the realm of family. Now, none of these lists are complete, so you will find this here, but there's two in this list, wife and children, that are directly said are gifts from the Lord. So let's go, Jimmy, would you mind reading both of those under the wife? And all husbands would say, Amen, right? Yes, absolutely. It's like, that's inarguable. It's like, and she continues to stay with me. More amazing. So, anyway, okay, moving on. Personal testimony here. Children, Judy, you want to read those? All that, oh, there's three in there. What's not listed here? Maybe it would be too much of a stretch for God to say, and your husbands are gifts to the wives. It's like, yeah, I'll just... I just had to throw that in. Anyway, number four. God gives in the realm of salvation. Okay? All right. God gave His Son. Lynn, I'll have you read both of those verses if you don't mind.
John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. 6:15-9:15, thanks be to God for His indescribable gift.
Okay, excellent. He gave His own Son, all right. Marv, I'll just have you read the first one for sake of time. We got a big list here, but go ahead and just read John 10:11. That's the first verse I ever memorized in my life. Yeah, Jesus gave His life. We spent all of last session on that. Okay. Notice the gift of God is eternal life. All of that. Letter C here. Juanita, would you read that? God gave the Holy Spirit. It's 2 Corinthians 1:22 there, yeah. Okay, God gave us the Holy Spirit. If you're a believer, He's given you the Holy Spirit to indwell you and to seal you. Okay? This is all part of salvation. That happens at salvation. Letter D, God gives forgiveness and eternal life. Loretta?
So then neither he who plants anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase.
Okay, and if you would read, everyone knows the last one there, Ephesians 2:8-9. Why don't you read that?
But the Scripture has combined us all under sin, promised by faith in Jesus Christ, might be given to those who believe.
Yeah, okay. So salvation there, all right. Flip your page over. There's other verses, and again, I would encourage you to read these, to review them so that you might learn them, so that they'll deepen what you know and possibly change how you think. Number five, God gives in the realm of sanctification. Kind of a little bit of review from our review in the morning session there. That God gives in the realm of sanctification. And what we mean by sanctification is to enable us to grow and change. Again, to learn to be like Jesus Christ. Let's look at a few verses here. Elisa. Let's start with 1 Corinthians 2:12. Okay. And then, Jewel, do you want to read the next one down, Galatians 2:20? You never have a voice. Isaac, would you read the next one?
I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me.
Yeah, and notice it's present tense stuff. You know, I'm living that way. Ethan, would you read Ephesians 5:2?
And walk in love,
And remember, in the epistles, if God commands it, he's enabling it as well, right? He's not telling you to do something you cannot do apart from his grace and the Holy Spirit, all right? Jordan, we'll read the next one. 2 Timothy 1:7 is the last one for this section, if you don't mind. Isn't that great? Isn't that a great verse? He's not given us the spirit of fear, but of power. That's the enablement, ability, of love, and of a sound mind. Wow. That's all part of sanctification. Okay? So that we might do what we should do rather than what we want to do. That we don't react, we choose to obey, and so on. But anyway, God gives in the realm of sanctification. Number 6, God gives in the realm of... You might not have thought about this, but what do we call it? God gives us spiritual... Yeah, say that again. Spiritual... Yeah. God is a giver. Okay? Look at Ephesians 4, 7 to 12. Valerie, would you read that whole passage? And then I'm going to have Ben read the next section there, because both of them are very important. Okay. Ephesians 4 has to do with people. He gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. I call this gifted men or enabled men. Romans 12 has to do with enablement. God has dealt to every person a measure of faith. These are gifted men. These are gifts. As in abilities, okay? These are the apostles. I'm stretching out here. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, and these are, the way this is stated, pastors, teachers, seems to be in a one thing. What's the enablement here? In Romans 12, by the way, there's different lists. Here's a side note, though. What's your favorite color, John? Pink? In case you don't know, I give all of my sons-in-law, that's like attorneys general, isn't it, sons-in-law? A hard time. But spirit or gifts, when you think of gifts, you have two fours, it's easy to remember, and two twelves, okay? You have Ephesians 4. You have 1 Peter 4. You have Romans 12. You have 1 Corinthians 12. This has to do with what we just talked about. These are men, specific leaders, it appears to be. The rest of these this is more general. It has to, it's speaking and serving. It divides the gifts up into speaking and serving. If you speak as the oracles of God. As you serve with all the ability God gives you. Okay, so it divides all of the gifts up into two. Speaking gifts, serving gifts. 1 Corinthians 12 lists a whole bunch of different ones than Romans 12. We don't have the in your notes here, but it's I would call the temporary gifts. Okay? The words of wisdom, what interpretation, tongues. My son used to speak in tongues. Now he just speaks in nonsense. Yeah, not well, him too, but we pulled in the parking lot. Say, "Yay, we home!" Like, "No, we're at church." He goes, "We're at church." So he's getting whatever. Full sentences and all stuff. Huh? Yeah, he probably feels that. Yeah. No, he was just happy to be anywhere. Hey! I think it's like, I'm liberated out of my car seat. He couldn't say that, so it's like, hey, huh? So whatever. Anyway, this here lists only seven. Prophecy. You want to help me list them? What? Sound? Prophecy, ministry, teaching, exhorting, giving, leading, yeah. Sorry, and then the last one is mercy. Showing mercy, okay? We aren't studying this today, but why the different lists? Well, this one you can exclude because it's talking about men, the positions themselves. God assigns people. Remember, he said all authority is from God. There's no authority except from God. They're appointed ultimately. However that comes about. In what order were these books written? I've never had it where the snowplow was going by during Sunday school before. That's fantastic. Of the remaining three, we see this as a transition. There was a lot of what I call temporary gifts early on. By the time Romans was one of the last epistles written, why is it first? Acts, Romans. What's the order of canonization? Whatever that means. That's something to do with artillery, I think. Well, but the idea is, they largely, just like in the Old Testament, they sorted them by size and type. Romans is one of the biggest ones. Romans goes first, but it was one of the last ones written. By then, this seemed to be all that was left. 1 Corinthians, even in 1 Corinthians, it says, "Whether prophecies will cease, whether tongues will be done away." Okay? It said that they would cease. So it appears that they have. This ignores any major list, speaking and serving. I would say, some will argue, so my point is to argue, but I'll just give it, I don't believe prophecy is for today. Because that's still direct revelation from God. Okay, as I would understand prophecy, some people have seen prophecy as getting in your face. You're being prophetic. You're like, "Don't be laughing at me, Ethan, for saying that," or something. You know, that I was prophetic. You know, it's like, no, prophecy is speaking direct revelation from God. Thus says the Lord. And I believe that these last six are pretty much the working group in which we function now. So I think it adds the confusion when people try to define other things that there's no definition on. But anyway, service, God's enableness, enablement is for the spiritual gifts. It's they're scraping them down to the nubs, man. But supernatural enablement, and think ability, and I call it enhanced ability to do better at what we are all called to do. If you look in here, we're all, ministry is serving. The Bible tells us to serve one another. God enables some to do a good job at it, that they're better at it. They help the rest of us to serve. Teaching, the Bible says we're to teach and admonish one another, yes? A sign of spiritual maturity is you know the basics and you're able to repeat them. That doesn't mean you can study the Greek and Hebrew. It's not expecting that. You can, but it's not. That's not what it's talking about. It's saying that you get to the point where you can relay what you've been taught. Okay? But some are gifted to be able to do, enhanced ability to do what all of us are supposed to do anyway. It helps us to learn. It helps us to learn how to do that. Exhorting, encouragement, comfort, those are all words that translate that. Some people are like that. Have you noticed? There's some people that help Kevin to be more exhorting, encouraging, comforting. I don't believe that's one of my gifts. It's one of my responsibilities, but it's not one of my enhanced abilities. Okay, if that makes sense. I'm still responsible to exhorting one another daily, you know, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. These are all things that we're supposed to do. How about giving? Well, I don't have the gift of giving, so I don't give. And it's like you're missing the point. We're all supposed to give, right? We're all supposed to give. But some people are enhanced. They're given enhanced abilities, spiritual gifts, to do a better job at giving, but also to help us learn how to give. The spiritual gifts are for the benefit of the body, ultimately. Anyone here leading anyone? Everyone's a leader. I believe everyone is a leader. You're leading someone either directly or indirectly, and you influence them. Okay? And how many like to lead? Some people like to lead. I believe that God gifts people to do that. I frankly do not like to lead. You know, you might say, it's a little awkward. You say, you know, it's like standing up in a choir and saying, I don't like to sing or something. But I don't find that the best part of what I enjoy doing. I like to do the teaching, study, you know, stuff like that. Leadership is more, to me, a responsibility. Whether or not I have the gift or not, I don't know. But we're all to lead. Okay? It doesn't mean you like to, but it's the enhanced ability to be able to do that. And also showing mercy. Anyone here think I have the gift of mercy? Okay, you don't know me well if you do. But that's something I have to work at. I think my wife has a gift of mercy. You know, it's like, except that when I get hurt. Anyone else, it's their heart just goes out. And you know, to me, it's like someone gets hurt and it's like, hey, you know, you still got one good leg and it's not, the bone's not sticking out. It's not a compound fracture. Let's go. Now, you know, my wife, I think we show mercy in different ways. My wife, and if Elizabeth was here, she would verify that she has gained this through DNA or otherwise. But if either of the husbands of these two women that I've mentioned hit their head, fall, or in other ways experience pain, the first response is hilarious laughter. I don't connect that at all. I'm like, maybe the first thing should be, are you okay? And then laugh. But it's always laugh. And it's, oops, are you okay? You know, it's like, I didn't do that on purpose so you could laugh, you know, whatever. But anyway, but people that you know, and some of you have the gift of mercy. You feel more, and you help us to feel more so that we learn to care for people that it's our responsibility to do anyway. You help us. And that's in every way. That's what the whole spiritual gift thing is about. You lead the way in that area, whichever way that is, okay? Number 7, you can ask Jane. She'll affirm it. Say, do you laugh when your husband hurts himself?
Yep.
She'll probably start laughing when you ask. It's funny. I find it just odd. But anyway, we have grand discussions on that. Usually right after I've been injured. Why are you laughing? It's like, you know, my arm's going like that. Why are you laughing? It's not supposed to bend that way. It's funny. It looks funny. Huh? Anyway, satisfaction. Realm of satisfaction. God gives in the realm of satisfaction. Okay, who did we leave off with? Hannah, are you next? Ecclesiastes 5:18. Yeah, the idea that God gives you work to do, and that's part of the enjoyment. How many people that do you know live for the weekend? It's like if you live for the weekend, you're missing 5 out of 7 days of satisfaction and enjoyment. John, this is divine sovereignty here. Ecclesiastes 9:9. All of your vain life.
All of your vain life. Which he has given you under the sun. All your days of vanity, for that is your portion in life, and in the labor which you perform under the sun.
It's interesting, even Solomon and all his pursuits came to that idea again, that it's back to the, it's not easy, but that's good. You know, the whole, the labor and it, the wife and all that, it refocuses back on what God has given. Let's look at number 8 here. Number 8, God gives in the realm of eternity. By the way, my wife will be listening to this session this week. All right, God gives in the realm of eternity. Who's left here? I don't know you guys' names. Can you help us out?
Jackson, Caleb.
Jackson, Josh, and Caleb. Okay. Jackson, would you read John 14:2? Do you have a sheet of paper in front of you? That would work any place but here, buddy. Isn't that great? Oh, you're going into the next one. Okay. Yeah, that's good. He knows the rest of the verse, obviously, the rest of the passage. Ephesians 2:7, Josh. What's grace got to do with giving? I'm showing you this. Grace, charis, that's where she gets her name. And charismata is this, spiritual gift. Okay, it's a gift, it's a grace gift. But you grace somebody, you're giving somebody something. Isn't that what God's grace is? For by grace you're saved, by God's giving it to you. Not of works, right? It's all tied together here. So, yeah, this is grace and charis, if you, and charis mata would be the Greek word for spiritual gift. It's the gift part of the word. So, okay, Josh, read 2 Timothy 4:8 also, will you? Caleb, you get the last two, buddy. So get ready, ramp it up. Isn't that amazing? God rewards us. We're going to eventually get to rewards probably in the Sunday morning session. It's just phenomenal what God will do. Okay, Caleb, the last two. James 1:12. Excellent. Crown of life. Different than the crown of righteousness, by the way. And then Revelation 22:12. Excellent. My summary question. God gives from beginning to end. We learn to give because God is a giver. Giving is a divine attribute again. So, all right. Let's close in prayer so you can go out and play car hockey or whatever you want to do. Okay. Yeah. Either that or chase the snow plow that keeps going back and forth. Whatever. Lord, thank you so much for your love for us. Thank you that you have revealed to us how you are a giving God from the very beginning of time to the very end. And Lord, we pray that you would just help us to learn that. We have been born selfish. We have been born with our sinfulness that desires to get at any cost. And Lord, we want to learn to give as you so freely do. And we ask, Lord, just help us to learn that as we work on this truth during this time. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.